The Built How podcast is part of the Win Make Give podcast network.
Welcome to the Built How podcast. My name is Ben Kinney. I am so excited because we are interviewing number one real estate professionals and asking a simple question. How did you build the business that you have today? I am so excited for this interview. Get ready to learn.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of the Built How podcast. I'm your host, Ann Kennedy, and today we're welcoming Brian Dougherty from Compass in Boston, Massachusetts. Brian, welcome to today's Built How podcast.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So I'd love to hear, Brian, you share with us how you got started in real estate, and I remember the story about your grandma. So share with us how you got started.
Oh, yeah. My path to real estate took a couple detours, but it my interest in it started at a very young age, and it was because of my grandmother. I grew up in northern New Jersey, probably about 20 miles west of Manhattan, and my grandmother lived in the same town we did, and so we were very close to begin with. She was a really cool lady, and she raised six children on her own. Her husband walked out on her, and though she had a college degree, there weren't really many opportunities for her to work and to provide for her family of six kids. And so real estate was an opportunity for her. She was introduced to it by a girlfriend, and it really literally provided for my extended family. So she worked very hard, and she became quite accomplished as a realtor, but then ultimately as a manager. And I think with a family of six kiddos, when the opportunity came up for her to manage one of the brokerage offices, she did that, and she did it to great success. So as a kid, I would ride my bike down, you know, to the office, and go through the back door, and I'd hang out in the Xerox room with the ladies, and they'd be smoking cigarettes, and we would just talk shop, you know. And I said, did you hear Mrs. McGillicuddy passed away? Do you think that she's going to list the house, you know, or they're going to list the house? And that's going to be tough because it backs up to the busy road. And, you know, these ladies, I'm sure, just got a real kick out of it.
But they must have loved you.
Yeah. So that was fun. So I was introduced to kind of the behind the scenes of it all. And I loved that. And then my mom, kind of unbeknownst to her and to anyone else, really, she was what we would consider a flipper by today's standards. But she didn't really know it. You know, my grandmother, we would go on these drives every Sunday night after dinner, and I would be in the backseat of her Lincoln, and I could just remember it like it was yesterday. And we would take these, we called them real estate tours, and she and my mom would talk, and then she'd point out a house, and my mom would buy a house from my grandmother.
Wow.
And we'd live in it, though, you know. And so my mom didn't really know strategically what she was doing, but by the sense that she had great taste and liked to renovate and improve a home, she would create equity, and then she'd want to tap into that and keep us going. So wow. I think I moved to eight different homes in this one little town while growing up, and it was great.
Smart woman.
Yeah. But my grandmother didn't think that was going to be a career for me. In fact, she didn't. She said, no, you go to college and you'll be a doctor or a lawyer or a banker or something. But this is, you know, this is not a business for young men. And it was also funny because she hired the first male in her office. He was the son of one of her friends, and he was leaving a Wall Street position he didn't care for. And she said, look, this is not a man's business. I'll hire you, but you're not going to last. But I'm doing it because of your parents. And, you know, what did she know? Years from then, he went on to be the top producing agent. You know?
Wow.
Because he brought the business sensibilities. You know, as the business evolved, it became a business, and with all the sophisticated needs that go with that, you know, a Wall Street background was probably quite
great. I'll bet. So then how did you end up in real estate?
Well, so she kind of discouraged it for a bit. And then, so I became interested in hotel management. And so I was on that pathway, and I was at, I started working for a big hotel company. I was with Hilton Hotels, and I was a young hotshot sales manager there. And I loved it. I really did. But you know, that you could only go so far, right, from an earnings perspective. And I was at a family funeral, and I was in the back row, and I was whispering with a family friend who had retired, but then he got involved in this real estate development project. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. And it was a high-end luxury resort development. So they had a five-star resort element to it, but then they sold property that with all the amenities. And I was just kind of enamored, less interested in the funeral and more interested in this. And so I essentially begged him for any chance to kind of crack into that and let him know that I'd be ready, willing, and able. And he said, sure. And then about 6 months later, he called me. And he said, we have a position as a sales assistant in our New York office, supporting the salesmen and women who are marketing a project in the Turks and Caicos, which was really neat.
Oh, wow.
It was out of New York. And I hung up the phone and ran over for my interview and said, I'll do anything. And in fact, at the time it was a big, I took a pay cut, but that put me on this wonderful trajectory.
So that was in New York City?
Yes. Yeah, the projects were not, but the thing, and one of the things I learned, which this is fed into the unique business model that I've developed over the years in my general brokerage practice. But at the time, I thought it was really interesting that we were marketing projects elsewhere in the country, you know, in Savannah, Georgia, or Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or the Turks and Caicos. But we recognized that such a significant percentage of the buyers were in the New York metro area. And we had a beautiful showroom there for these respective properties. So I would, and again, I was a sales assistant. So I started at the low end of the totem pole, and I would chase down leads for these guys and do whatever they wanted, basically. But it got me into the game.
And then how did you get down to Massachusetts?
So there was a downturn. And if you remember it, we all try and block it out, but there was that financial downturn in 08, 09. And the development world kind of came to a standstill because projects weren't getting funded the way they used to be and buyers weren't buying. So my partner, Nick, we've been together for 16 years. We kind of took a time out. We concocted some crazy plan over a couple of bottles of wine one night. And long story short, we bought an old bed and breakfast on Cape Cod. And we wanted to fix that up and renovate that and just do a little time out because we were hard charging for many years there. And we did that, and it was during that time, 3 very long years of running that inn, which was a great success. We sold it, but that I met 2 guys who ultimately invited me to join their brokerage as a partner, and which I did, and I haven't turned back since.
And when did you move from Cape Cod to down to the Boston area?
Probably in 2012, 2013. And so for listeners who aren't familiar with the region, Boston, which has a population of less than 1 million, it's about 60 miles to the start of Cape Cod, which is an island with a large island with 15 different towns on it. And we moved from the Cape to Boston, and my former business partners had 6 offices on Cape Cod. And kind of replicating that model that I had learned 20 years earlier, you know, at that point, I don't know, maybe 15 years earlier, where you market where the buyers are and you operate where the buyers are coming from. About 68% of our 2013 buyers on Cape Cod came from a 15-mile radius of what became our Boston office. And so we were well positioned to kind of operate here and work with them.
Got it.
Chad Himes here, interrupting this interview for just a moment to ask you a quick question. Is your energy level down? Are you feeling a little depressed? Do you need a kick to boost you up? Well, if you do, make sure you live by Ben Kinney's 15-point plan. Want to find out more? Check out the 15-point plan podcast, part of the Win, Make, Give network.
So then tell me about, like, where are you now and what does your team look like now and what does your business look like now?
Yeah. So about a little over two years ago, my partners who were older than me, they decided to sell the firm, and I that created an opportunity. So I sold my piece, and I joined Compass. And so I function as a managing director out of the Boston office for Compass. And when I first came over, it was just me, myself, and I. And but real estate can be lonely, and teams are kind of the way to go. And I started watching all these significant teams grow around me, and the team principals seemed to be working smarter and doing more business. And so I took my time and I've built a small team, and it's myself and six others. And that includes an admin operations role. And then we have four other agents. So it's great. And a marketing person.
And how do you have that structured in terms of who does what of the agents on the team? Do you have them broken down into like just buyers, just listings? How does that all work?
Yeah. So unlike, and I started to allude to this earlier, unlike many of my colleagues who just work in just one town, just Boston, or even just one neighborhood within Boston, my model continues to be different in that I work all throughout the region. I think I was just telling you, I was on a plane to flight and I flew down with a moment's notice to support a client looking in Florida. And I did that just because of the relationship. So I stay with the relationship. I work hard to become my client's trusted advisor. And I work throughout the greater Boston region. So what we end up doing is we support a family with their their primary residence. And we see a lot of this at a certain price point in Boston. We have a primary residence, we have a city spot, and then we have a vacation home on Cape Cod. And so what used to be one touch, we just had the Cape Cod second home or vacation home opportunity. We've now earned the chance to support these clients with, you know, essentially three different transactions. And so that in of itself has multiplied our business. And my team is structured that I take on the primary business and I will bring somebody in depending on where geographically the region is. And so I will bring in one of our team members to support a buyer or to help with a listing.
And you had mentioned to me that you also, it sounds like you go well beyond the scope of what many realtors provide to their clients in terms of remodeling, both on the buyer end as well as the seller end. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think more and more agents are tuning into this. The concept of being, and this goes back to that stint that I did in the luxury hotel business, was just no doesn't exist. The word no is not in our vocabulary. So we always want to please our guests. And so my guests are my clients, and I just want to exceed their expectations. And that's really one of the greatest lessons that I learned coming out of the luxury hospitality business, was just service. And so while I shouldn't say no, I should say, maybe not today. I need to learn to not to say yes to so much, but I several years ago started because of my partner's design background and the development work that we do in addition to our brokerage business, started supporting sellers in preparing their properties for sale for the market and in an effort to realize the greatest sale price possible. So I'm not just talking about staging, because staging is pretty common, but we would take it a step further and advise sellers on refinishing floors or remodeling kitchens or bathrooms. And then during the last few years, as inventory in our market has been so tight, it's forced buyers who have an interest or who come to us and say, we only want turnkey. We only want new, new, new. Well, guess what? So does everybody else. And when we don't have much inventory, it forces them to consider opportunities that might be, that need some polishing, you know, and that's where we have come in with great success. And we've told buyers, look, I know this doesn't have the Carrara marble counters that you wanted and this dark hardwood floors, but we can do this for you. And we help them either through sketches or renderings, or we just walk them through a space with tremendous confidence and let them know how wonderful it could be. And so as a result, we end up kind of serving as de facto default general contractors. So
after they purchase it, you go in and help them realize their dreams.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, and again, this is something that we're able to do from personal experience, not just what we've watched other clients do, but what my partner Nick and I have done over the years as we've turned over properties. And it's kind of cliche, but, you know, if a home has good bones, then there's a lot to work with. And, you know, you just kind of do give it a makeover, so to speak. And so we've developed subcontractor relationships throughout the region. And we're good to our people, and they in turn become really great resources for our clients. You know, we have clients who closed on something about 6 weeks ago, and we had our whole team lined up for them, from the roofer to the shingles to the painters and the floor people. So, and they tackled it in about 4 weeks straight, and they couldn't be happier. So.
That's pretty unique. You're right. You hear a lot of that on the property prep side when houses are getting ready to be listed, but you don't hear agents doing that much representing buyers. That's really interesting. So what did your team do, this year? By end of this month, what do you think?
Yeah, we're recording now here, our chat mid-December, and I'm trying to squeak out one or two more deals rather. But to date, we just actually had a closing yesterday. So we are 106 million.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we're 106 million volume. That Palm Beach deal that I told you I flew down to 2 weeks ago is a cash deal that won't necessarily count as our production, but, it's a $6 million sale, and that we'll sneak that one in on December 29th. And who knows?
Nice way to close the year.
I know, we're cutting it close, and I'm about to go into holiday mode, but it's not over till it's over.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's going to be well-deserved this year, because how much of that, what percentage of that, you know, $106 million is on, did you do?
Yeah, so we did, so personally, myself, and again, the model's a little different. So my agents can work with work with their own clients, but then they definitely support me and my clients. And so, for instance, you know, like we just had a wonderful record sale on the Cape. We represented the sellers on a $15 million property sale in Chatham, and I had an agent involved in that. You know, and so they'll. You know, the credit kind of goes under my name, but they supported and they did some showings and all the rest of that. But anyway, generally speaking, I do about 70-75% of the production myself, and then the team kind of infills in addition to the support for me.
What's your biggest challenge right now, Brian?
As we scale, and we always want to continue scaling, the challenge is operating at the same level of service that we have to date. When we came to Boston, I think my first in 2013, I wrote about $5.5-6 million in business. And then, you know, you just kept hustling. And the next year we closed in on, and I say we, me, myself, and I again, I closed in on 20. And I've just grown it year after year as my spheres of influence has grown and the referrals. I right now run at about 80% referral business, which is amazing. And so my biggest challenge is to control its quality assurance. And the reason that that could be compromised is because of the administrative component of running what's become a very significant business. And I mean that from a marketing, we have twice weekly marketing meetings. We have a strategy and growth meeting. We have an accounting meeting, you know, so it, when you go from being kind of mom and pop or a solo agent to running a more significant team, the moving parts become greater and there's a lot more to juggle. And I want to protect the experience where the client calls and they say, but we want you. You know, and so I can't be in 10 places at once. And that's the concept of having a really special team. And that's why we're just 6 at the moment. We're looking to add to our team, but we're very selective because it really has to be the right fit and the right vibe.
What are you looking to add? Which role?
So we need somebody special for Boston, downtown Boston. We need a buyer, somebody who can work with buyers. We have had a tremendous amount of buyer referrals, and it's a tight market. And so what we need to do is to leverage all of these different channels and these really great broker relationships that we've developed to source off-market opportunities for these buyers and to get them into a home. And that in of itself is a full-time job. And so I definitely need somebody to support our growth in Boston and then somebody else on Cape Cod where we're doing a lot of business.
Okay, so you're still looking for team agents. You're not, are you looking at all for any administrative support?
Yes. So we, good question. Yeah. So we're looking for some select agents to help us. And then we're looking for another marketing role. And the marketing role is, it's going to take on, because so much, as you know, Anne, is going the way of social and digital. We still do a tremendous amount of print advertising and marketing. We spend a lot of money and time doing that, but the social channels are equally, if not more, important. And so this marketing role that we're going to look to hire in first quarter 2022 will be somebody's kind of more of a curator and a brand ambassador who will take video. We're going to do more video work and continue to reinforce our value proposition.
Thank you. So what do you feel are, you know, one or two real significant lessons you've learned?
So this is, first and foremost, there's no shortcuts, right? Gosh, I've tried. And I've been trying for shortcuts ever since I was riding my bike to my grandmother's real estate office. But I think that you got to start, you've got to work hard, you've got to earn it and be patient and it will build. You know, if you build it, they will come type of thing. So I think patience and hard work is one. And then the other lesson I think I would say is follow-up and communication. This is a business that you really can't turn off unless you've created the infrastructure to do so, but it's a hugely personal business. And I will get calls, I know, over the holidays, and sometimes I just want to turn it off, but I've learned that lesson the hard way. I remember I had a client, and I maybe even told you about this, and I'd sold a lot of property for her. And she was a tough cookie. She was a tough cookie. And when she wasn't trying to set me up with her daughter, she was just calling, and she knew I was happily married, but she would just call to chat a lot. And one day I get like this once or twice a year. I just need to kind of turn it off. And I did. I watched her call come in and it went to voicemail. And when I got around to returning her call a day or two later, and this is not a good testimonial for me as an agent, but I'm being candid.
Be real.
It happens to every, be real, right? Because it just, we work 7 days a week. When I got around to returning her call 2 days later, she said, "Where were you? I was looking for you. I wanted to buy a place in this brand new luxury building." And I said something, you know, and I said, "But here I am." And she said, "Well, I bought it yesterday and it was a $5 million place." And, you know, I couldn't retroactively insert. So I think the moral of the story is if you're in it, you're in it, and you're 100%, and you have to be, and you have to find a way to compartmentalize those challenging times, but get back to everybody within minutes is something that I make as my personal mantra.
So what's next for you?
More of the same. We are continuing. We're trying to adapt. You know, I think the market changes, and everything going on with the global pandemic has changed priorities and preferences for our buyers and sellers. So we're just trying to be tuned into that and kind of keep our nose to the ground, our ear to the ground, rather, and learn what people want so that we can provide for that. And then working smarter. We, 2022, we want to grow from 100 to 150 million in production. And we'll do that with another agent hire or two and some efficiencies in our operations. And I think everybody can look intrinsically and look at opportunities to improve both client facing and then behind the scenes operationally. And that by doing that, it frees us up to do more of what I love to do, which is to be with clients and match them with properties. And then we're going to scale. And then one of our thoughts, because we continue to be called in with these wonderful clients, whether they're in the UK or they're in New York City or like 2 weeks ago in Florida, is to look at a service offering. And this is in our private brokerage model where we are, we can be advisors for our clients outside of the greater Boston region. So that's exciting. We're going to kind of beta test that in the year to come and then go from there.
Cool. Well, I will love to hear that story as it moves forward and how that goes. It's really interesting and ambitious. And I'm sure, right, if anybody can do it, you can.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today for the Built How podcast. We really appreciate it. And it was wonderful having you.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Our pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Built How podcast and got some valuable takeaways that you can put into place into your business right away. Don't forget to visit builthow.com and register for our next live or virtual event. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave a rating and a review, and check out all the other podcasts on the WinMate Give podcast network. We'll see you next time.